Blog Talk Radio.
Friday to you all. This is your host, Brandon Scher, and welcome to the New Heights Show on Education. The New Heights Educational Group Incorporation promotes literacy for children and adults by offering a range of educational support services. Such services include assisting families in the selection of schools, organization of educational activities, and acquisition of materials. We promote a healthy learning environment and enrichment programs for families of preschool and school-age children, including children with special needs. The New Heights Educational Group offers support to all students, whether in public schools, private schools, charter schools, or to homeschooled students. On today's show, we will be discussing the legacy of novelist and philosopher Miss Ayn Rand, best known for her best-selling novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Don't forget that my show now airs at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Friday. To learn more about our organization, visit us online at www.newheightseducation.org. Or you can contact the New Heights Educational Group directly by calling 419-786-0247. You can also email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Please remember to push follow us for updates on upcoming shows, or you can visit our website to see host bios and keep track of your favorite hosts and all of our shows. Here are the following announcements from the New Heights Educational Group for the week. A special thank you goes out to the following recent donors: from Canton, California, and Allie Barker from Sagan Falls, Ohio, for their recent car donations. We received $232.88. We appreciate your support. A special thank you to Thrivent Financial Services for its recent $25 donation. Xylophone donated from Ann Mitchell, which is made in New Zealand. Do you need tutoring? Have you visited our online classrooms? These are constantly being added to. If you need a tutor, please contact us directly. We have tutors that are waiting to work with your child. Our students normally show incredible growth in very short time spans. The New Heights Show on Education is beginning a new show with host Miss Shannon Williamson. Shannon will share a new story with her audience each week. The stories will target elementary age students. This week's show will be recorded tomorrow and will be shared after that on our site and in our social media. Join her online and follow along while she reads this magical story. Help is needed. We are in search of a building in Defiance, Ohio, for a nonprofit organization. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization seeking usable space to operate a curricular library and an administrative office. If you have a space in a commercial or industrial or business area or a residential property that you can donate to our organization for a tax-deductible certificate, for the value of the space you are donating, please contact us via our website, www.newheightseducation.org, or email us directly at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. We would love to discuss how you or your business will benefit from the donation program. You can also donate funds to this project by visiting our website and clicking the GoFundMe or our donate button. Stay tuned for a new look coming to the New Heights website. Now back to today's show on Miss Anne Rand. I would like to start off today's show with a quote that outlines Anne Rand's philosophy and of what she typically wrote. The question isn't who is going to let me. It's who is going to stop me. Throughout most of her life, Anne Rand advocated an approach in life to selfishness. She outlined some points that included following reason, not whims or faith, working hard to achieve a life of purpose and productiveness, earning genuine self-esteem, pursuing your own happiness as your highest moral aim, and prospering by treating others as individuals, trading value for value. Anne Rand was born in St. Petersburg, Russia on February 2nd of 1905. At age 6, she taught herself to read and 2 years later discovered her first fictional hero in a French magazine for children, thus capturing the heroic vision which sustained her throughout her life. At the age of 9, she decided to make fiction writing her career. Thoroughly opposed to the mysticism and collectivism of Russian culture, she thought of herself as a European writer, especially after encountering Victor Hugo, the writer she most admired. During her high school years, she was eyewitness to both the Kerensky Revolution, which she supported, and in 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution, which she denounced from the outset. In order to escape the fighting, her family went to the Crimea, where she finished high school. The final communist victory brought the confiscation of her father's pharmacy and periods of near starvation. When introduced to American history in her last year of high school, she immediately took America as her model of what a nation of free men could be. When her family returned from the Crimea, she entered the University of Petrograd to study philosophy and history. Graduating in 1924, integration of free inquiry and the takeover of the university by communist thugs. Amidst increasingly gray life, her one great pleasure was Western films and plays. Long an admirer of cinema, she entered the State Institute for Cinema Arts in 1924 to study screenwriting. In late 1925, she obtained permission to leave Soviet Russia for a visit to relatives in the United States. Although she told Soviet authorities that her visit would be short, she was determined never to return to Russia again. She arrived in New York City in February of 1926 and spent the next 6 months with her relatives in Chicago, obtained an extension to her visa, and then left for Hollywood to pursue a career as a screenwriter. On Anne Rand's second day in Hollywood, Cecil B. DeMille saw her standing at the gate of his studio, offered her a ride to the set of his movie, The King of Kings, and gave her a job, first as an extra, then as a scriptwriter. During the next week at the studio, she met an actor, Frank O'Connor, whom she married in 1929. They were married until his death 50 years later. After struggling for several years at various non-writing jobs, including one in the wardrobe department at the RKO Radio Pictures Incorporation, she sold her first screenplay called Red Pawn to Universal Pictures in 1932 and saw her first stage play, Night of January 16th, produced in Hollywood and then on Broadway. Her first novel, We the Living, was completed in 1934. But was rejected by numerous publishers until the Macmillan Company in the United States and Castles and Company in England published the book in 1936. The most autobiographical of her novels, it was based on her years under Soviet tyranny. She began writing The Fountainhead in 1935. In the character of the architect Howard Roark, she presented for the first kind of hero whose depiction was the chief goal of her writing, the ideal man, man as he could be and ought to be. The Fountainhead takes place in the United States, mostly in New York City, during the 1920s and 1930s. It chronicles the struggles of the innovative architect, Howard Roark, and his effort to achieve success on his own terms. The Fountainhead was rejected by 12 publishers for being, as they called, too intellectual, but finally accepted by the Bob's Merrill Company. When published in 1943, it made history by becoming a bestseller through word of mouth 2 years later, and gained for its author lasting recognition as a champion of individualism. Ayn Rand returned to Hollywood in late 1943 to write the screenplay for The Fountainhead, but wartime restrictions delayed production until 1948. Working part-time as a screenwriter for Hal Wallace Productions, she began her major novel, Atlas Shrugged, in 1946. She moved back to New York City and devoted herself full-time to the completion of Atlas Shrugged. Published in 1957, Atlas Shrugged was her greatest achievement and last work of fiction. In this novel, she dramatized her unique philosophy in an intellectual mystery story that integrated ethics, metaphysics, epistemology, politics, economics, and sex. Although she considered herself primarily a fiction writer, she realized that in order to create heroic fictional characters, she had to identify the philosophic principles which make such individuals possible. The book depicts a dystopian United States wherein many of society's most prominent and successful industrialists abandon their fortunes and the nation itself in response to aggressive new regulations, whereupon most vital industries collapse. The title is a reference to Atlas, a titan described in the novel as the giant who holds the world on his shoulder. The significance of this reference appears in a conversation between the characters, Francisco D'Anconia and Hank Reardon, in which D'Anconia asks Reardon what advice he would give Atlas upon seeing that the greater the titan effort, the heavier the world bore down on his shoulders, which Reardon, unable to answer, D'Anconia gives his own response, to shrug. The theme of Atlas Shrugged, as Rand described it, is the role of man's mind in existence. The book explores a number of philosophical themes from which Rand would subsequently develop her own philosophy, objectivism. In doing so, it expresses the advocacy of reason, individualism, capitalism, and the failures of governmental coercion. Atlas Shrugged received largely negative reviews after its 1957 publication, but achieved enduring popularity and consistent sales in the following decade. Thereafter, Ayn Rand wrote and lectured on her own philosophy, objectivism, which she characterized as a philosophy for living on Earth. She published and edited her own periodicals from 1962 to 1976, her essays providing much of the material for 6 books on objectivism and its application to the culture. Objectivism holds that reality is an absolute, that facts are facts regardless of anyone's hopes, fears, or desires. There is a world independent of our minds to which our thinking must correspond if our ideas are to be true and therefore of practical use in living our lives, pursuing our values, and protecting our rights. In an appendix to Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand wrote of objectivism, quote, "My philosophy, in essence, is the concept of man as a heroic being, with his own happiness as the moral purpose of his life, achievement as his noblest activity, and reason as his only absolute." Objectivism is the philosophy of rational individualism, founded by Ayn Rand. In novels such as The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, Rand dramatized her ideal man, the producer who lives by his own efforts and does not give nor receive, the undeserved who honors achievement and rejects envy. Rand laid out the details of her worldview in nonfiction books, such as The Virtue of Selfishness and Capitalism, The Unknown Ideal. Objectivism holds that there is no greater moral goal than achieving happiness. But one cannot achieve happiness by wish or whim. Fundamentally, it requires rational respect for the facts of reality, including the facts about our human nature and needs. Happiness requires that one live by objective principles, including moral integrity and respect for the rights of others. Politically, objectivists advocate laissez-faire capitalism. Under capitalism, a strictly limited government protects each person's rights to life, liberty, and property, and forbids that anyone initiate force against anyone else. The heroes of objectivism are achievers who build businesses, invent technologies, and create art and ideas, depending on their own talents and on trade with the other independent people to reach their goals. Objectivism is optimistic, holding that the universe is open to human achievement and happiness, and that each person has within him the ability to live a rich, fulfilling, independent life. This idealistic message suffices Rand's novels, which can sell by the hundreds of thousands every year, to people attracted to their inspirational storylines and distinctive ideas. A quote from Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged, says, quote, "I started my life with a single absolute, that the world was mine to shape in the image of my highest values, and never to be given up to a lesser standard, no matter how long or hard the struggle." Ayn Rand challenged a few common beliefs that I would like to talk about at this time. And the first one was, quote, "You are your brother's keeper." We are not born, Rand says, with inexplicable duties to serve God or society. We only have one life, and the good is to live it. Learn to pursue your own happiness by discovering the life-promoting values it requires. Think rationally and don't bow to authority. Join with other people when you have real values in common and go your separate ways when you don't. Don't try to be your brother's keeper or to force him to be yours. Live independently. Another belief that Ayn Rand challenged was that love is selfless. We love what we personally value or admire. Selfless love is a contradiction in terms. It would mean you have no personal stake in the object of your love. The truth is, romantic love is profoundly selfish. It's a union of mind and body that both people pursue for their own happiness. And it's profoundly demanding. To quote a famous line from The Fountainhead, she said, "To say I love you, one must know first how to say the word I." Another idea that Ayn Rand challenged is that money is the root of all evil. Life requires production. Today's standard of living, whether computers, cell phones, and life-saving medicines, far outstrips the wildest dreams of the past. All this wealth had to be created by individuals, and money is what enables production. Quote, "Money is your means of survival," character in Atlas Shrugged warns. "The verdict you pronounce upon the source of your livelihood is the verdict you pronounce upon your life." So those are three of some of the objectives that Ayn Rand challenged. And the reason why I really enjoy Ayn Rand's work and why I decided to talk a little bit about her today is because I absolutely love her ideas and themes of the world. I think she's absolutely brilliant for creating objectivism, which is her own philosophy, and I love the fact how she's able to write about her philosophy in her works, such as The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I would definitely recommend to anyone who has not had the chance to read The Fountainhead especially, it's Very good work by Ayn Rand, and there is even a movie out of The Fountainhead that follows the story of an architect as he battles with problems in becoming successful while trying to have his own ideas that are not the same as the ideas of the other architects. He's trying to be his own individual person without becoming like the others want him to be or expect him to be. And that is why I really like Ayn Rand, because she always told people own individuals and not to follow a dystopian society of what she was against. On March 6th of 1982, Ayn Rand died in her New York City apartment at the age of 77. Every book by Ayn Rand published in her lifetime is still in print, and hundreds of thousands of copies are sold each year, so far totaling more than 25 million. Several new volumes have been published posthumously. Her vision of man and her philosophy for living on Earth have changed the lives of thousands of readers and launched a philosophic movement with a growing impact on American culture. For anyone who's interested in learning more about Ayn Rand, I would definitely recommend, as I mentioned before, to take a look at The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. They are extremely well-written works and will definitely, in a way, change the way that you view the world and will allow you to see that being an individual and not going along with a crowd is truly what really matters in life, to be your own self, to be your own person. Ayn Rand was her own person and not like any other writer out there. To close off our segment on Ayn Rand today, I would like to share a quote with all of you that I found to be very inspirational. The ladder of success is best climbed by stepping on the rungs of opportunity. Thank you to everyone for listening to today's program dedicated to legendary writer and philosopher and my favorite author, Ayn Rand. Tune in next week for a radio show devoted to novelist, short story writer, and poet from the American Renaissance period, Herman Melville. Don't forget that my show now airs at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as always, every Friday. Have a wonderful rest of the week, everyone, and I will see you next Friday. Bye, guys.